want to thank you, Tim, for sharing what you shared. Not often people talk of me being a praise point. Often when they look at me, they go, he's more a prayer point than a praise point. But it's good to be reminded of our new status and new relationship that we have with Lord through Christ. And as we go through this psalm tonight, I hope that the psalm will come closer to you as you go through life and what it has before you. I have a brother who went to Nepal last Christmas to take the gospel to the Nepalese people. And one of the memories that stuck in his mind and what he would constantly bang on about when he got back to Australia this year was that the Nepalese people, no matter what they were experiencing, would always turn to the Lord first in everything. They would always bring their situation, no matter what it was, before the Lord, seeking his help and his guidance. And it really raised the question for my brother, and it raised the question for myself as I was reflecting on this. Is my response in all things to go to the Lord first and foremost? Is it your response in the Lord that you go to him first and foremost in what befalls you? Or is the Lord only your refuge when you run out of energy, when you run out of things, and when you run out of your own wisdom of trying to solve your problem? Because Psalm 91 is a song of trust. It's been a song of trust for many people over the centuries. And as we reflect on Psalm 91 tonight, I'm going to ask God to open your hearts and your ears so that through the ministry of the Spirit, you too may be comforted by what Psalm 91 has to say. Or that one day, when you hit that patch of oil on the road and the car goes out of control, whatever it may be in your life, that you will turn to him in your situation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Not because it's just an intellectual exercise in understanding who you are, but it is you speaking in real life situations about how we are to behave, how we are to respond, but most of all, how we are to relate to you and to our fellow man. We ask in our humanity, in the weakness that we are in, that we will learn from this psalm so that we may praise you in all situations. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight I want to share with you three things that really project themselves out from this psalm. And the first is that God is a shelter and a refuge. And in that shelter and refuge, secondly, we see that there are benefits of being in it. And finally, not only are there benefits of being in the shelter, but the God who makes the shelter and who is the shelter will act on your behalf specifically for you. Let's have a look at the first point, the first two verses, that the psalmist's confession is that his faith is in God as his shelter and refuge. It's true that most of us live a safe and controlled life. There are times in our lives when turmoil comes in through various ways and means. Life becomes tough. Sometimes in our lives, things are so overwhelming or out of control, we don't know what to do or how to function. And usually we put ourselves into these situations and use up our total reserves of emotional, spiritual, and physical coping strategies. And then these seem to wane. And it is that point we call out for help. For we live in a place in the West where we are constantly bombarded with the message that you can do it. You are the solution. You will be okay. But I think the reality is this, that we live in a world where that is not true, that it is a lie and a myth, that most people will wait until the burden becomes so overbearing before they ask for help. But shouldn't we, as God's children, be following the example of the Nepalese people, that from the very beginning of whatever circumstance, be good or bad, that we turn it over to the Lord so that he will journey with us through these situations, comforting us and strengthening us? Because this is what verses 1 and 2 declare. Verses 1 and 2 declare that God is our shelter and our refuge. He is the place for every believer to go to find comfort in him. And he's very clear in verses 1 and 2 who he is. There are four names of God in verses 1 and 2 that don't come through in the English. And the first one is God uses the word Elyon, which means God is the Most High. It highlights his strength and his sovereignty and his supremacy. It points out that God is the High and Exalted One. It shows that God is above all and distinct from what he has made. He is the boss of all that he's made and all that roam in his creation. The second name that God uses here is Shaddai. And it just simply reminds us of the almightiness of our God. The third name that is used here by the psalmist is Yahweh. And this word Yahweh reminds us of the covenant relationship that God has established with his children and with his creation. That he will deliver the people because he is our God. And he has said, "You will be my people." And in that covenant, God is ever faithful. So it really highlights the faithfulness of God. And the last one is the name Elohim, which acknowledges that he is the creator of everyone and everything, that he is the strong and mighty one. You see, the psalmist is trying to put a little jigsaw puzzle together here and uses the different names of God to remind us that it is he who is the shelter and how involved he is in making that shelter. The psalmist declares that God is the shelter, which is really unusual. And that's why it's not what we believe in or what we trust in, but it's the who of what we believe in and trust in. The who is most important. Is God the one that you turn to? Or is it something else? Psalm 18:10 reminds us, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Friends, God not only creates the refuge, he is the refuge. And do you notice that the psalmist declares very clearly that he is my refuge in verse 2 and my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust. And so the psalmist is not speaking about knowing God. He is speaking about a personal relationship, a personal trust that he has between himself and God. It's talking about faith in a lived out context in relationship with Yahweh. You see, anyone can pray to God, can't they? Anyone can pray to God. And in particular, don't you hear it? Oh, I just offered a little prayer to God. I prayed to God. I turned to God for my help because I just needed him. But after the disaster comes, what do they say? I'm okay. I'm just going to get on with my life again. It was interesting that when they did research on the 9/11 situation and the Boxing Day tsunami, that many people said that I prayed because it was just so out of control. But 3 months later, when they followed up and did more research, they discovered that these people no longer had an interest in God. You see, it's so easy to use God as the ATM of getting out of trouble. But this is not what the psalmist here is telling us. The psalmist here is saying it is for those who are in a personal relationship with him, who can say, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It is that personal relationship with Yahweh that the psalmist is pointing out. And he's imploring people to trust in Yahweh. So, do you turn to God? Is he your refuge? Is he your fortress? And is he the one that you trust? Or do you only turn to God when you run out of options? I know what is the smartest thing to do, but do we do it? I had a big mole on the back of my back, which is not on the front of my back, but it's on the back of my back. And I went and saw the doctor, and the doctor said, ooh, this is not good, you better go see a skin specialist. And I saw the skin specialist, and he went, ooh, this is not good, I better take a little bit out of it just to see what it is. And he sent it off to the people who look under a microscope, and they said, ooh, this is not good, we better get it taken out. So I went back and saw my specialist, and he said, ooh, we better take this out. So he took it out, he took a big chunk out, and it came back, and he said, this cancer has a 95% survival rate. The interesting thing that what he didn't say was, if you left it, if you left this melanoma alone, that number would decrease. Isn't it interesting that I went to the doctor when something was wrong and got it solved quickly? When I have a toothache, what do? I go to the dentist. I go to the one who can fix it. In other words, do you spiritually go to the one who is your strength and your comforter and the one who will rescue you? Or do you only go to him when you're afraid and you run out of options, like the man who's afraid of the dentist? The benefits of going to God as his shelter and his refuge are numerous. The psalm drifts now from verses 1 and 2 about the personal trust to pointing out the personal benefits for making God as your shelter and as your refuge. It is God who rescues you. And how does he do it? Well, he does it by giving a few illustrations. He says, on the way, you may be caught out by your enemies, like a bird hunter laying his trap, or a deadly disease that can strike you down without warning, as in verse 3. In verse 4, you have the reassurance of God's protective care because you trust him, and it's the picture of the adult bird sheltering the baby bird under their wing, providing that safe refuge. In fact, God's faithfulness, God's wing, the psalmist tells us, is like a shield and a rampart, protecting those who trust in him. In verses 5 and 6, we see that God promises to protect you 24 hours a day, particularly through the night. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I was scared of the night. And when we moved our homes from Broadmeadow to New Lambton Heights in Newcastle, I had this dream every time I was falling asleep that aliens would come down and try to abduct me from my parents. Scary as all get out. It is the terror of the night. And we know that sometimes in our very core of our being, we can experience that personal terror of the night. It's a fearful and anxious time. But the psalmist reminds us that God is with us 24 hours a day. He is our protection. He is our rampart and he is our shield. And in verse 7, we see the image related to warfare and disease or some other disaster where everyone around you is falling sick or injured or killed. But the one who shelters in Yahweh remains untouched. I always find it interesting that when we talk about death, even in Christian circles, we tend to have this negative picture of death. But I'm looking forward to death because I think it's the greatest moment in my life. Why? Because then I go to be with the Lord. I go and get everything that I have been expecting. I finally get the Christmas present, as it were, under the tree. When everything is falling by our side, where we see disaster everywhere, do you see the trust and care that God has of you? Do you realise that in God, in Yahweh, you will survive it, as glorious as it is? That you are cared for and cared by Yahweh. It's a great comforting part, verse 7. Verse 8 goes on to talk about those who make Yahweh your refuge will see justice meted out on the wicked. But this is sadly on the other side of the coin, isn't it? Post-death, where those who we think have gotten away with it will actually come before the Lord and find his justice. And they have to stand before him and give an account. And I find that greatly encouraging. Verses 9 and 10 talk more strongly about the psalmist as God protecting them from harm because of the shelter and refuge. So it is this great testimony from the psalmist to you about how God protects and is the shelter. And then even in verses 11 to 13, we see why that is the case, that God even commands the angels to guard and protect you as you make the Lord your refuge and your shield. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard who? You in all your ways. Let's stop for a second. Who did he ultimately send his angels to look after? Christ, didn't he? He sent Jesus into the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan. And Satan said, throw yourself down from this highest point and God will look after you. And Jesus replied, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But in a way, Jesus is saying here, I am not going to put my Lord to the test because I know that he will protect me and my foot will not strike against a stone. And I think it's interesting that Jesus reflects this little verse here in verse 12 when he's going up against Satan. He sought God as his refuge, first and foremost. And I think if it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us. There are benefits of what will happen when God is our refuge. But now we come to the third and last point, and we'll go through this quickly, that tells us what God will do for those who seek shelter and refuge in him. Verses 11 to 13. First, he says, I'm going to rescue you because I will cause him to escape. He says, I will protect him. I will protect him in verse 14, for he acknowledges my name. I will answer him. I will be there with him in trouble. God is very present in our distress. I will deliver him at the end of verse 15. I will pull him out of his trouble and distress. And this is some of the great things. I will honour him. I will load him with honour. I will satisfy him with long life. I will show him my salvation. Here is the little personal touches that God does for those who take shelter in him. And ultimately, I will show him my salvation, which is the ultimate thing that God does for us. You see, this psalm is a great comfort because it reminds us how active God is in the lives of those who turn to him for their shelter and refuge in God. But do you and I literally do that? Do you call out to God in all situations, at all times, and involve God in everything? Or do you truly and honestly say to yourself, I think I can work this out. I think I can get there. I think I know a better way. It is a big question that we need to ask ourselves in the West, because there is sweeping promises and sweeping activity by God for those who take refuge and shelter in him. But do you and I, take up that offer that God makes in this psalm? Or do you wait until life becomes overwhelming or out of control? One of the things I've started saying to myself in response to this psalm, when it really hit me, is a lot of things I whinge and complain about and I get stressed out about are really first world problems. I worry about whether I can meet the mortgage. I worry about whether I can pay the car bill. I worry about whether I can put petrol in the car. And they're all first world problems. But when you look at the Nepalese people, they don't have these things, do they? But they also don't have dentists. They don't have doctors. They don't have a lot of the things that we can so easily turn to. And that's why they turn to prayer. Because if God doesn't answer them, it won't be answered. And it really hits me in this psalm how unfaithful I am in reflection. That I am one of these people who think I can solve my own problem. So for me, this psalm is a growing psalm. It's a challenging psalm. It's a nurturing psalm, because it asks the big question of my life, and I hope it asks the question of your life. Is God really your shelter and refuge? And do you turn to him in times of trouble? Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you are our shelter and our refuge, that the psalmist can extol what you have done in his life and reflect in the last few verses of what the personal touches are that you, our God, do for those who take shelter and refuge in you. I assume that I do it, but help me to reflect deeply, and help each one here tonight to reflect deeply whether this is true of them, and what we need to do as a people who live in the first world to be able to be as faithful as those who have set a great example, like the Nepalese people, like many Christians who face persecution in countries that do not want to hear your name. For those people who don't have the ease of solutions to life. They simply turn to you and seek your help and your refuge and you as their shelter. So, Lord, help us to grow in faithfulness and turn to you so that we can have the benefits and blessings of being at your place, under your protection, with you helping us and strengthening us and comforting us in the journey of our life. And we look forward to the day when ultimately we come before you as our shelter and refuge, that we will see fully what we can't see now of how great and awesome you are. Until that day, when we see you face to face, may we grow and use you in a way that responds faithfully to what presents us in our life, that we need to turn to you as our shelter and refuge. Amen.